Good morning, everybody. It's WMFO right here in Medford. It's Mike on the mic. Almost 10 past 10 here in the morning. Been here for about an hour playing the freeform. Let me tell you what I played in that last set. We ended up with, I believe, Count 5 from their Rarities double CD called Psychotic Reaction. That's definitely kind of cool. Thanks, Phil Wilcox, for that one. Before that was the Bonnevilles from the Arrow Pierce My Heart CD. That was No Law in Lurgan. Before that was something new-ish. Just the end of last year, Kings of Leon came out with a CD called Walls. That was Reverend and started off with brand new noise from local band Lily Black. Their 2017 CD is out. It's called My Own Hero. And that was Leave Me Alone with lots of thanks to Mike Barry for getting me that one. All right. Very happy to look across the table and I see someone smiling at me. Hopefully you're George Woods.
I believed that waking up this morning at the very least.
Did you check in the mirror just before you left?
Cause absolutely not. There's the danger it won't be true.
It's the worst thing walking out of the house being somebody else. what does that even mean?
I have this problem with interviews where I'll send myself down some fantastical logic trap and then get stuck in it and I have no idea what to say.
Oh, please don't do that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's already happened. This first sentence, it's all right.
Welcome. I know you've been to WMFO before. Usually, it's weird for me because people have never been here before that I usually have here.
Yeah, you have to go explaining everything to them.
It's a great space. We can do some recordings. Bathrooms on the right.
I've been all over this place, man. I'm very fortunate to have been. I came in here as a solo artist and with my former funk band Proper Company before. Done all manner of things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, welcome to the Mike on the Mic thing.
I am so happy to be on Mike on the Mic. Thanks. Man. You're an awesome DJ. I appreciate it.
I'll send you more money soon right after we finish. So, you've got a lot of stuff going on. You're going to talk about your new album a little bit,
yep.
But let's let everybody in this audience this early in the morning who may not know you. I know you've been kicking around here for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of stuff. You're not from Boston. You're from New York. I won't hold that against you. It's Poughkeepsie. Well, it's Poughkeepsie.
I'll hold it against me. That's fine.
You don't have to.
Sometimes you have to escape from a place, you know?
Uh-huh. So when did you escape and come to Boston?
I escaped from Poughkeepsie, New York in 2005.
Okay.
I heard a statistic recently that it was like maybe one of the top 10 worst cities to live in, like in the Northeast or something crazy like that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. So, but you know, when you grow up there, you don't know. But then I came to Boston and it was the sort of thing, I came out here for college and it was the sort of thing where, you know, the more time that you spent away from it and like looking back and living in a new environment, you're like, oh, that place is messed up.
Mm-hmm. And especially your first experience like living on your own in college.
Totally, yeah.
Did you come to Tufts?
No, I didn't come to Tufts. Sorry, right. Tufts. I wasn't here.
I had to give it a shot. I didn't either. But.
I play guitar. Where do you think I went to college? Yeah.
Let's see, Berklee College of Music.
Shocking.
Yeah, I went there years and years ago. I'm a lot older than you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I was a keyboardist.
Oh, wow.
And I'm gesticulating so you know I mean it.
I can see.
Nobody can see it.
For anybody who's wondering, he was currently gesticulating with his fingers in the manner in which a keyboard player would do so.
So you got here, you went to school, and learned a whole... That's a great place. I love my time at Berklee.
Oh, yeah. It's an epic place. And you know what's really funny is while I was there, it dawned on me how much my dad had actually taught me when I was a kid about music. Because when I got into the college, I was able to tutor other people on like really advanced harmony and stuff like that.
Oh, because so you sort of went in there with dad's tutoring.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he taught me how to play guitar. You know, it's this sort of like family lineage thing going on, I guess you could say. Yeah.
So you also grew up in a musical family. That's the best.
It is. It's cool. My dad was very musical. My mom is not that musical, but she does like to sing in this sort of like weird baritone voice occasionally. Which I won't hold her against her. Sorry, Mom.
Nope.
Shouldn't have told everybody.
So was your dad in a band? What kind of music did he like? What did you play?
So my dad was
was
born in 1935.
Okay.
And he was a record producer and arranger in New York City. He went to Arizona State University and learned composition and stuff like that. And so he did like string arrangements and like full band arrangements for records in New York for like Decca, Polydor, all kinds
of
stuff.
So cool.
So cool. He lived in the West Village And he worked with Dave Van Ronk, if you know who Dave Van Ronk is.
I don't.
So he, Dave Van Ronk, if you're into blues and like old folk, like you're into Dave Van Ronk. Like,
I guess I think that I am, but there's so much of it. I just don't.
I know, man. Yeah. I know, and it's like, and to be into Dave Van Ronk, you have to know that you have to be into Bob Dylan enough to know that Dave Van Ronk was Bob Dylan's best friend.
Like, oh, crap.
Yeah. But anyway, he toured with Dave Van Ronk and the Hudson Dusters through Canada, did some stuff like that, worked like in, you know, and I found out a lot of this stuff recently because he passed away in December.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, but, geez, I'm sorry.
But I was going through his sort of history, writing his obituary, and man, he had like a cool, weird, subterfuge-y, full of, you know, a lot of pot in the 70s, like kind of life back in the day, you know, it was cool reading up on him and like finding some of these tracks that he released with these like sort of like B-list bands in New York City back in the 70s. Like there's this track put out by a group called McKendree Spring, which is watch those pennies and the dollars take care of themselves, right? And he used to play that when I was a little kid, and I just thought it was like a song that he made up one day. Uh-huh. And it turns out it is a song that he made up one day, but it was 30 years earlier. Mm-hmm. and it was cut and released on Decca Records, you know.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
So when were you old enough, and did he bring you into the studio sometimes to meet some people and watch it?
By the time that I was born, he was living in Poughkeepsie, and he was had moved on from being a record producer and a guitar teacher to, like, he taught himself how to rebuild Victorian houses. Yeah, no kidding. So, like, he was the kind of guy who's like, well, I'm going to read a book on plaster work, and then I'm going to suspend myself from the ceiling by a series of levers and do, you know, details in the local library.
A brave man.
Yeah, or completely insane, one of the two.
So I know we'll talk about this a little bit more, your new record called I Am. Mm-hmm. Just out. I'm holding a copy right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of what you wrote about on here is your experiences with your dad and just life in general and how to just live happily.
Absolutely.
It's pretty much what this is about. So we'll definitely get to that. But first, tell me a little bit about when you decided to be a musician and go to Berklee. Who is it? What artist? What song really made you just sort of go, oh my God, that's what I got
to
do?
I think it goes back to the genes thing, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it was never like, maybe I should be a doctor. Screw it, I'm going to be a guitarist. You know, it wasn't like that. It was more like, I'm a guitarist. Maybe I should be a doctor. And it was like, and those flights of fancy for living in a, you know, working in a cubicle, you know, only came and went. And it was always like,
You were destined to do it in the genes. Yeah.
I was, and I mean, like, it sounds kind of weird to say it. Like, yes, I was destined. But, you know, when you hear the world more than you see it, you know, it's like, I remember how places sound, like, probably secondary to how they smell, you know, as opposed to how they look. It's just sort of the way I'm wired. And every single time that I've done something where I've stepped a little bit further away from producing records and being an artist, like, it's always just like, I get about 6 months and I'm like, screw it, I'm done, I'm moving on.
I love that. It's very profound, you should know. And I always mention that the reason I love the tunes is because when I hear something, I remember where I was. And I can almost smell it and I can almost feel
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so nobody in particular.
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm a songwriter, right?
Yeah.
But when I went to college, I decided I was going to be a big band arranger. I was going to write for jazz big bands. So I learned how to do that. And one day I realized that's a freaking horrible idea.
Why though?
Well, all right. So, well, there's a couple of reasons. The real reason, because I'm an artist and everything has to be an emotional thing. But, like, the real reason is, I remember sitting in this class, listening to quote unquote an atonal saxophone quartet written by some modern composer, and thinking to myself, this music is brilliant. The same way the Pythagorean theorem is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, like, it's cool. I understand what's going on, but it does nothing for me.
Right. You know why it exists, but...
Exactly, yeah. And at least the Pythagorean theorem is useful, you know? And so, like...
Oh, come on. I mean, that's really cool to be able to write all those charts for a jazz band.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, but the point is... And I can't do that, which that is something that has helped me immensely.
Yeah, it has to.
But
absolutely.
The direction of that medium is going towards this sort of, like, gray... mathematical expressionless sort of thing. And, like, I'm telling you, man, after listening to this thing, it just sounded like white noise for like an hour. I went home, I grabbed my jazz guitar, and I just strummed a C major chord for like
just to give you something not atonal.
Oh, to give me something that was tonal. Yeah. And I strummed it a C, not a G, not any other chords. I strummed a C for, I'm not kidding, 45 minutes. And I went into school and I dropped that major.
Well, we've run out of time. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
Okay, so you really knew you didn't want to have that kind of crazy atonal kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, and you know, the reason is because, you know, again, it's an emotional thing. It always comes down to what moves you. And, like, that stuff doesn't move me. You know, like, what moves me is somebody strumming a C major chord and singing something that's really legit right now. And, like, it was artists like, so here's a good example for influences that have sort of changed my direction. Artists like John Mayer, Sarah Bareilles, watching the way they perform and how they use honesty and how they use their craft to sort of create an emotional experience. And then going a level up on like the songwriter charts, Ray LaMontagne. And believe it or not, Bon Iver. It has, writes, like, I think we have a track queued up.
Yeah, you've picked Bon Iver for an influence or two, yeah.
Exactly. Now, there's a track by Bon Iver called Blood Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the best love songs ever written, if you can actually understand what he's saying, because it's so lo-fi. But it's, the lyrics aren't like, I love you, you're pretty. It's not like that. It's like... It's like a description of two very quirky people being very quirky, and by the end of it, you fall in love with them.
All right. Well, here's a real DJ kind of a segue. Why don't we hear?
Let's hear Bon Iver. Yeah.
Yeah, and we can just sort of imagine what it is you just told us about this. All right. So this is one of George's first influences, Bon Iver.
Yeah, Bon Iver. Yeah, it means good winter.
Good winter. All right. This is Blood Bank, everybody. WMFO.
Like the present. secret that we know, that we don't know how to tell. I'm in love with your honor, I'm in love with your cheese. What's that noise up the stairs, babe?
Everybody, it's 10:26 in the morning. It's WMFO, and you just heard the first of George Woods's influences. It was, 2009's title track, Bon Iver's Blood Bank.
Ah, there you go.
I did it.
You did it.
Yeah, yeah. Not good at pronouncing anything, but a lot of coaching from George helped me with that one.
You're welcome.
That was a beautiful track. That was quite an influence.
Yeah, man.
You know, and for those of you out there, while we were playing the song, George is like playing along with it and singing along with it is a real treat. It was really cool. So
there's a funny story behind that song.
Okay.
Back when there's a long story that eventually turned into, like, you asked me about this earlier, so I think it's okay to mention it, which mm-hmm. is a Heartbeat of Modern Dance Rock concert, that
yeah.
thing.
Yep.
That song was a song that my now wife and I would text back and the lyrics back and forth to each other back when we probably shouldn't have been. but it worked out okay because we're married now. But that song is just very important to me in my life.
Ah, yeah, it's beautiful. And I think I know this, that your wife is a singer.
Oh, she's awesome.
And she sings with you sometimes.
Dude, and when she does, I'm very lucky. Right now, she's getting her a degree right now, so she's kind of busy. But she's, if you haven't heard Heather Woods, you should... We should get you that record and get it on air.
Absolutely. Please do.
She's killer.
She's
killer.
So, George, since you have the guitar out and everything, why don't you play something for us?
Absolutely not. It's only here as a prop, really.
Fine.
Yeah.
Be that way. All right, so you mentioned a song. We were talking a bit about your dad, and I said, so you want to play something? And you said, yeah, why don't we play Carousel? Talk a little bit about that and why you want to play it.
My dad, like I said, he taught me like a lot of stuff that I know, you know?
Yeah.
And this song is actually kind of ripped from a chorus that he wrote about his wife. And it was, the carousel goes round and round, round and round and round and round. And I was like, I'm just going to, and basically it's, you know, the idea of like love is a carousel, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you grow up with somebody, you kind of adopt their philosophies in some way. So I stole that chorus from him and I wrote a song about him. And my dad, always critiquing my writing, you know, like when I showed him the song, I sing him the whole song and he goes, you know, that's really cool, but you know what a really great hook would be? Mm-hmm. The carousel goes round and round.
I wonder where he got that from.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I was like, thanks, Pops. Appreciate it. But this song is a song about David Woods, and it's called Carousel.
Okay. It's live in Studio A, WMFO.
father's second son. He's always talking about the grave, and he says he may die poor, but he will not die afraid. No, no, but I'm afraid. You see, his words are the beacon that get me back to shore. His hands gave me this guitar. One day, his body's gonna wither, but his heart to you, his heart to you, I will deliver. Love is like a carousel. It gets you high and it brings you down. It makes you feel like going for a ride now. Full of lights, full of smiles, gets you sick every once in a while. But love is like a carousel. It always brings you back around, yeah, now. Now what I know about his youth, that's what I know about his pain. His father's whiskey fist, how his mama wouldn't let him go. And he would say, you're never gonna make me cry, you'll never make me cry, no. He's had holes punched in his heart, some he still just hasn't filled. He is the last of his brothers in the world now. I see his shadow grow tall as he goes walking towards the light. But he tells himself and his children all, it's gonna be alright. Because love is like a carousel. It gets you high and it brings you down. It makes you feel like going for a ride now. It's full of lights, full of smiles, gets you sick every once in a while. Love is like a carousel. It always brings you back around. Yeah, yeah. And I will be the man you taught me to be. I will be full of light, full of smiles. I'll make you sick every once in a while. Oh, and I'ma love you like a carousel. I'm always gonna bring you back around. Gonna bring you back around. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be full of light, full of smiles. I'll make you sick every once in a while. Carousel. I'm always gonna bring you back around.
You know, George, I gotta say that was awesome, and I hear your influences. I hear the John Mayer. I hear Al Jarreau.
Yeah.
And I hear complex jazz chords.
Yeah, they're in there.
So,
man.
You know, whether you can't do. See, but those weren't atonal.
No.
So
that's about as far as I'm pushing the new stuff. You
well,
know?
I think that you know thyself, because from what you've described and where you came from, that definitely sounds like you.
Thanks, man.
It's really nice.
I appreciate that.
It's really nice.
I appreciate that.
So, your new record, I Am.
Yes.
That is out. It's on CD.
On Monday. It's out on iTunes on Monday, but yeah, and I'm going on tour on Wednesday.
I was just going to say that. You're actually starting the tour, and you're going to be gone from, like you said, where did I put your tour stuff?
I'll be gone from the 10th to the 24th.
I have that here, and I know that your record release show is just before that.
Actually, it's just after it. We're going to be...
end up in Worcester, I thought. But in Boston, just before that, was your record release show?
No. Yeah, so you got my timeline a little messed up. So what's actually happening is my record release show is going to be June 10th at the Brighton Music Hall, and I have the great fortune of opening up for Ruby Rose Fox.
Right.
Which is, she's awesome, man. She's a good buddy. She's really, She's really cool. I went as far as to cover one of her tunes on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, well,
for Halloween, there's a song. She has a song called "Bury the Body." How can you not put that out for Halloween?
She's been here, as you know, and "Bury the Body." We featured on a something about the women and Boston women rock with Mike Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we know Ruby really well. That's great. So it's June 10th.
June 10th. The Brighton
when did tickets go on sale for that?
Tickets just went up. They're just out there, you know. And by the by, if you guys pre-purchase a ticket and you get them through me, you can hit me up through georgewithmusic.com. There is a secret location pool party the night before to sort of celebrate the show and the record. And look, details TBA, but if you want some, hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at GeorgeWithMusic.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody on the post on Facebook, on the picture of George, if you click through, you'll see the Facebook URL and the URL for his page, GeorgeWithMusic.com. All right. So speaking of the new album, I Am, it's an 11-track CD.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to decide which ones you wanted to play. And we've got two queued up. But the last track, you said, is kind of special. It's called Shadows.
Yeah.
It's never been played yet on the radio. So let's change that.
Yeah. And it's honestly, it's probably one of my favorite tracks on this record. But it's the longest one. It's like 5 minutes long.
Okay.
But what I love about it is it's kind of my homage to Led Zeppelin. Like I kind of fell in love with Zeppelin when I was just getting into high school, and like awesomeness. And it kind of just started going down that road. Now, this song is interesting though, because it was written about a time in my life right around that time, and I was, you know, when you're about like 18, you start questioning everything. Your life's about
everything,
to change everything.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, I was having like a religious identity crisis. And this is about a dream that I had during that time in my life where my best friend at the time and I, in the dream, walk into a Church of Scientology, and there's a man there, and he says, "Welcome to the Church of Scientology." And then what ensues was utterly terrifying, and this is what the song is about.
All right, everybody, from the brand new record, I Am, this is Shadows. It's George Woods, WMFO.
In a dream, I met a shadow in a war between the dark and light. I came rusty chains, broken down machinery. I was led astray. A man with a lamp at the guidepost. He was a lonely ghost, and he led me that way. Down and down a twisted stair, deeper than I thought I could bear. He asked me, "Are you a child of the light? A child of the light, like me, like me." Red ruby glowing eyes, he spoke in absolutes. Conviction feigns for why. Me and my frailty, he leaned right into me. Said, "You must believe what I believe, because you're a child of the light, ain't ya? A child of the light, like me, like me." A twisted smile comes off beautiful and innocent like a child. Child of mine, no, 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 no. Ain't no child of mine, ain't no child of mine. He sets his demons on me, crawling down my throat. Give up the ghost boy on the black, black.
Kitchen window.
WMFO Medford, about 10:46 in the morning. I'm Mike on the mic here, along with my guest George Woods. How you doing?
I'm very good. I got a shout out for you, by the way.
Yeah.
In case he's listening, Mr. Peter Racine, is producer on that track.
Okay.
He's a monster.
And that track was Back to You.
Back to You.
From your new record called I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we heard Shadows. First time on the radio, also from the new album I Am.
Yeah.
Now, I know somebody that you know in common, and that's Haley McGee.
Haley McGee.
And Haley was here and introduced me to you. Thank you, Haley. And she had one song of yours that she wanted to spotlight.
Absolutely.
And it features your wife.
It does.
Heather Woods.
It does.
And I heard this one. I played it that day. It is called Highest Love, and it's a great song. So I was just going to cue it up on your CD, and it's like, no, I can do that one live. That'll be great, sans Heather, but...
Well, yeah, that's one downfall, but I'll play this track for you live, and I'll tell you, I'll do it a little different just for an exclusive preview. Why not?
Okay.
So this is a song called Highest Love, and this is a song that Heather and I actually co-wrote.
Oh, beautiful.
About each other. As self-serving and masturbatory as that is.
All right, live in studio A, is George Woods, WMFO.
We shouldn't have never let him speak.
No, never.
But no, but, oh, I'm in this out of tune. Well, while I tune this, in all seriousness, all kidding aside, this is a song about finding your soulmate, really.
Beautiful.
And it's a... I'm a very, very lucky person, so this is a song called Highest Love.
Torn from embrace and cast into the world, a screaming little boy and girl. We drew that first breath. We had some sense of what we left. Had me crying in my mother's arms, yeah. For you, my highest love, my highest love, my highest love. Will we recall my highest love? My highest love, my highest love. Oh, 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 now. Now we grow into life, all its toils and strife. We learn to pay the rent. Yes, I learn to forget your face. But the scent of your skin stays lingering like a shadow on a memory. And those strangers we meet, is it you, my highest love? My highest love, my highest love. When we recall my highest love, my highest love, my highest love. Oh, now we all lose faith sometimes, go hanging by a thread for most of our lives. No, but we will start to see. Yeah, we start to see. My, how we start to see you woven into me. Is it you, my highest love? My highest love, my highest love. Come home.
You know, George, Heather Woods would be really proud. that was really great. I mean, I was going to say delicious, but I stopped
that,
before
what?
I said
fine.
It. But
we can use whatever adjective you want.
I loved it the first time I heard it. And just so for everybody listening, you know, I'm in the catbird seat because I'm seeing a really happy dude just doing what he loves to do. That was really good.
Thanks, man.
That was terrific.
Thanks, man.
Okay, so.
I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. So, as you know, George, we have no idea what we're going to do now.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of choices, though. We queued things up, but we don't know. So we have time. We could do like another of your influences. We have a John Legend. We have another Bon Iver we could do.
You know, I'll tell you what.
Or we could do some more from your record.
You know, let's do something more from my record.
Okay.
The John Legend thing, it's just because I love this man's record. Putting it out there, if you like what I'm doing right now, go listen to John Legend's record. Just listen to Darkness and Light. It's so good, man. I was actually just recently out in L.A., and my producer, who did Back to You, we were doing a track, and he hit me to this John Legend record. And I'm telling you, man, I've been obsessed with it. I've been obsessed with it. And the song that I'm working on with him is that we're not quite done with, but we're kind of trying to take it down that avenue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, as far as, well, let's see, another track off of the record. Another track that no one's heard yet.
Okay.
There's a track on there called Building a Boat. You want to cue that up?
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think.
It is number 7.
All right. It's queued up. What do you want to say about this one?
So this
Can't
track,
wait.
this is a song that, you ever been through like a really bad breakup?
Oh, God, yeah.
Who hasn't, right? So, really bad breakup, and then
too many times.
That sort of, I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but it's about hitting that sort of, like, wall of, like, feeling sort of isolated from people. And the first line is, man is an island unto himself. But the idea is, fight past it. And the advice is, build a boat.
Okay, this is another track from George's new CD called I Am. And, Building the Boat. It's WMFO.
Man is an island unto himself. Man is an island unto himself. I'm building a boat. I'm building a boat. I sailed from a sheet I wrapped her in. In the bath, she couldn't even stand. I'm pounding a hole on borrowed faith. Building a boat, building a boat, calling it home, calling it to sleep. Shake you awake and toss you to the deep. But I see a light on the horizon line. Raising my mast, taking my helm, I'm headed south. At the edge of a promised land, she towers overhead. I tried to scale those lighthouse walls. There wasn't any way
surprise.
It's still going.
Building the Boat by George Woods. Fantastic. 10:57 in the morning. Mike on the mic here with George Woods. George, it's been fantastic for you to join me today.
It's been fantastic to join you as well.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
And that last one, if you remember, was Building a Boat. That was excellent. So let's go over one more time about your CD and the start of your tour and all that good stuff.
So the CD's up for pre-sale, but it's coming out in full on Monday. By the way, if you want to buy it on pre-sale, it's a huge help to me because all those sales go through on the first day. It makes me look famous, even though I'm not famous. And so if you want to help an independent artist, go pre-purchase this CD before Monday, and it'll be awesome. Going on tour, going to be in New York, Wilmington, Delaware, Trenton, New Jersey, around the Washington, D.C. area, out to Nashville, St. Louis, and Chicago.
And so, June 10th is the homecoming.
And June 10th is the homecoming show at the Brighton Music Hall. Tickets are available for that right now. And if
GeorgeWoods.music.com.
GeorgeWoodsMusic.com. Hit me up if you want to get a physical ticket. You can get into the pool party at the secret location the day before.
Okay, George, thank you again. Let's end up with one last track from this great album. This is one you wanted to squeeze in here. This one's called Sophie. Thanks, George, again.
I'm Mike
on the mic. I'll be here next week at 9. Thank you for listening.
Want to turn, growing up with you too, growing old with you. Seeds the water, solid tell still, starts growing into you, so I'll grow into you. But for fleeting seconds, a kiss on the cheek. Never known your touch, but you hang on to me. Walking through the park in the street, but no one should know. Silently the green, but no one should know. And even you and me, and now Sophie, you won't come easily. And Sophie, you won't come easily. But no matter how the world turns out, no matter how far you fly, my love for you and me will never die. Another love run dry, California in your eyes. And I'll hold you, hold your hand,